is baptism. We're going to be celebrating baptisms. There are six people who are going to be baptized, and there were seven, but one of them couldn't make it related to the weather. So we are going to baptize six people today. So first of all, I want to talk with you about an old game. Do you all remember Simon Says? How many of you remember Simon Says? Okay, some of you do, some of you don't. So Simon Says goes like this. So if I say, and I want you to participate with me today a little bit. If I say Simon Says, then you do what I tell you to do. If I just say do something, then you don't do it. That's how we play this game. Okay, Brandon, can you handle that? Are you awake? Okay. So Simon Says, touch your nose. Simon Says, touch your ear. Touch your mouth. Okay, so if those of you who touched your mouth, you were out. Okay. This game, I'm not really playing the game for the effect of the game. I'm playing it because in this game, there are two things that are going on. Simon Says is a command. Okay, so Simon says something, you're to do that because it's a command. It's an imperative. It's something that you're not supposed to have an option on. However, if Simon doesn't say it, he's making a suggestion. He's making just, would you like to do this? And so the Bible has a number of those types of statements within it. Both commands, imperatives, things that are not options for the Christian who is a follower of Jesus. And then there's those statements that are just, they're kind of like facts. They're just things that you do, but they're not necessarily commands. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about how to follow Jesus. And so the process of following Jesus, one of the things that is in this is when the disciples were with Jesus, he gave some statements to them and says, this is what you do. This is how you act. This is how you respond to things. And then there were other things he said, this is a command. This is what I want you to do. This is not an option. This is an imperative. And so as the disciples were following Jesus, and we remember, because it wasn't too long ago that we saw him resurrected, and so 40 days after that resurrection, Jesus is on the mount outside of Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, and his disciples are with him, and he ascends into heaven. And right before he goes into heaven, he tells them several things. One of those things is this statement right here, and we have read this many times, but this is Jesus' last statement to his disciples before he leaves them. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So inside of this verse, these last statements of Jesus, there is a command. There is a command, and the command is in yellow. Okay, so I could say it in this way, and this would be kind of in keeping with the grammar of this particular verse, and it would say this. I have been given all authority, both in heaven and on earth. I'm in charge. I'm the boss. I am the king. What Brenda said this morning, he is the king of heaven, and he's the king of earth. Even though you can't see him, he's still the king. So he has all authority. Therefore, as you are going... That's the phrase, the go. Go is not an imperative. It says, as you're going about your normal routine of your life, as you're going to and from the grocery store, as you're going to and from school, as you're going to and from your workplace, as you are going, imperative, command, make disciples. It's not an option for a follower of Jesus. Then he goes on and he uses two, what we call participles, but they are modifying that command, and so they are part of the command. How do you make disciples? First of all, by baptizing. So baptizing is the first way that you make a disciple. Why baptizing? Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but it has to do with identification. It has to do with public statement of what's happened in my life. So we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we teach them how to obey all the commandments that Jesus gave. And then he says at the end, be sure of this, I'm with you always. Even though you can't see me, even though you can't touch me, I am with you forever. He's present here in the form of the Holy Spirit within us, every one of us. And so we start here with the command that Jesus gave. And the command is this: make disciples, and you make disciples by baptizing an individual. When a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, the next thing they should do is they should get baptized after their belief. So why do we baptize? Well, here is a good way to look at it, okay? I'm sure that many of you have sports team shirts. In fact, I know many of you love different sports teams, okay? Some of us like the Vikings, and some of us like the Green Bay Packers, and some of us like the Cubbies, and some like the Royals and New York Yankees and whatever it is. And if you're a fan, you generally wear the apparel of the fan, okay? If you don't care, you don't wear it. But if you're a fan, you wear it, okay? And some people are more avid than other people, okay? But you wear it, and why do you wear it? Because you want to be identified with that team. So you can go from that, and you can go to this. Some people who are farmers, and some people who are not farmers, they have different colors they like in their machinery world, okay? This is a John Deere or an International Case. It's whatever they choose to do. And you can actually take that beyond, and you can say some people are avid fans in the automotive world, and they only drive Chevrolets, or they only drive Fords, or, you know, they only drive Ramblers. Some of you don't even know what a Rambler is. The best example, I think, though, is this one right here. If you are married, what makes you married? The vow you took. What's the purpose of the ring? To tell other people that you are married to one person and one person alone. So if you take your ring off, does that still make you married? Yeah, I think so. Okay? So the point is this, that these are symbols. They're outward symbols of what's happening on the inside of a person. Okay? That's what baptism is. Baptism is an outward sign to everybody around of something that's happened inside me. I have placed my belief in Jesus. So the command to be baptized, to make disciples, and then to baptize them, and then to teach them. Understand this, that in the New Testament, there was a pattern that developed in the New Testament, and it starts in Acts 2:38, and we're going to walk through this real briefly. But in this particular chapter, Peter is telling a sermon. It's his first sermon that was preached for the new church. And the Holy Spirit had just come upon Peter, and he didn't have time to prepare because he didn't know he was going to speak. And the Spirit of God gave him these words to say. And he spoke so powerfully but through the power of the Holy Spirit that the people who were listening to him said these words: "Brother, what should we do about what you have said?" The people around him, the congregation, the people who were listening, they said, "So what? What are we supposed to do with this?" So Peter replied this way. He says, "Each of you must repent of your sins." Now, repentance is just simply this. If I'm walking this direction, repentance means I turn around and I walk the other direction. If this is toward my sin, I say, I don't want that. I want to walk toward God, and I'm going to walk away from my sin. And so he first says, you must repent of your sins. And then he says, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Notice, he says, repent of your sins. And in repentance, there is a point of belief. You cannot repent without also believing that Jesus is the way to go. Repentance and belief are opposite sides of the same coin. When you believe, you repent. And when you repent, you believe. You can't have one without the other. Okay? And so he says, then you should be baptized. And the baptism does not have anything between it and belief. Unfortunately, in the modern church, we've often said, well, we want them to understand exactly what's going on. It's kind of like, you know what? They already know what's going on. They're sinners. I know Jesus died for my sin. I just want to tell everybody what just happened. He says, be baptized. Now, is he saying there that baptism forgives sins? Well, it kind of looks like that there, doesn't it? Kind of looks like there is a connection between baptism and forgiveness. But if you go on in this particular passage and read the next verses, you'll find out this is what it says. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And then Peter continued to preach for a long time, strongly suggesting and urging his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized. So there is this correlation that in belief there is forgiveness of sin. And in that forgiveness of sin, I am baptized. And baptized is an outward sign of what happened in my life. The water, I go underneath the water, I've died with Christ, I come out of the water, I'm risen to new life with Jesus Christ, my sins are forgiven, and I'm a new person inside. And it says there was added to the church that day of 3,000 people. Okay, so logistically, think about this with me. They baptized 3,000 people that morning. That takes longer than 10 minutes. We're going to baptize 6 people this morning, which is phenomenal, okay? 6 people who have said, I want to be baptized. I want people to know that Jesus is my Savior, that He has forgiven my sins, that He paid for my sins, and I don't have to pay for them myself. So that's the command. And here's the practice. No, so that's the pattern. And this is the practice in chapters 8 through 22. And we're going to give you just three separate examples. This is what happened in the early church. So Peter preached his message as the practice, or as a pattern. And now here's the pattern that comes out of that. Okay, this is what happened in the first century church. It says that now the people believe Philip's message. So Philip is out, and he's preaching in a place called Samaria, which is just north of Jerusalem. Probably 50 or 60 miles, okay? And he's up there, and he's talking to these people about who Jesus is, and they trust Christ as their Savior. And it says here, now the people believe Philip's message, the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. So they believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He died for their sins, and they said, we believe. And as a result, what does it say? Many women, men and women were baptized. You see how closely tied belief and baptism are? Then Philip was taken from that location, and God said to him, I want you to go to a desert city, a desert place, a road along the area called Gaza. So the Gaza Strip that you're familiar with today, okay, in Israel, same location, okay? There was a road that passed along there that went down to Egypt. And God says, you're going to find somebody there. And he went there and he found this man who was called a eunuch of the queen of Ethiopia. Okay? That means he's probably a black man. He's an African. Okay? And so as he's going there, he notices that this man is reading out of the prophet Isaiah. The eunuch asks Philip, tell me what the prophet's talking about, himself or someone else. And so beginning with this, the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus, and as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water, why can't I be baptized? Now, the next verse, Philip gives an explanation for what he's doing here. Thank you, Ed. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Understood, believed, confessed his sins, received forgiveness, and was baptized to identify himself with the risen Jesus Christ. So we have the Samaritans who believed and were baptized. We have the eunuch who was believed and he was baptized. And then we have a man by the name of, let me get out of this thing here and see if I can pick it back up. Go to the next one there. A man by the name of Saul, who we sometimes call Paul after this situation, but he was a persecutor of the Christian church in the early church. And so Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And he went blind, so they took him to the city called Damascus, and there was a man there named Ananias, and Ananias was told to go to Saul by God to help him regain his sight and to find out if his confession is complete. And so Ananias went and found Saul, and he laid his hands on him, and he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, it says there instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight, and he went up, and he was baptized, and afterward he ate some food and regained his strength. The thing I want you to see here is it says that the Holy Spirit would fill him. Well, that never happened in the New Testament except that a person has believed and has confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's what happened to Paul. Ananias just kind of jumped over top of it, and he said, "This is what's going to happen to you." Paul had already believed. And now it says he got up and he was baptized before or after he ate something. What does it say? Before he ate anything. See the imperative that's there? I mean, they saw it as imperative that they have an identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, be baptized, and then teach them how to follow Jesus and walk with him. You see, that's what it says in the scriptures. In order to follow Jesus, we should believe and then follow in obedience the Lord in baptism, and then receive the teaching on how to walk with him and then walk on with him. So the question this morning that I want to pose to you is, what's keeping you from being baptized? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything about it other than to say to you, what keeps you from being baptized? There are a lot of things that keep us from doing things. But with Jesus being the King of heaven and the King of earth, and one day all of us will stand before Jesus and he will say to us, "Why were you not baptized after you believed?" We'll have to have an answer. So I want to encourage you, if you don't know and you're asking yourself the question, "Well, I'm not sure what you just said," you know, feel free to study any part of the scriptures for yourself to determine which part is it saying. Do we believe and be baptized, or is it baptism before we believe? What is it? What does the scripture say? Read it for yourself. You will not find any other way of doing it. This is what it says. So I want to encourage you to do that. We are going to schedule a couple more baptisms, perhaps one in May, perhaps one in June. We're going to find dates for those flights. So if you're interested in being baptized, in fact, if you have been convicted of the Spirit today and you want to be baptized, you just come up behind with all the rest of the candidates who are going to be baptized and talk to one of the elders who are back behind here and give them your confession. And after you've told them what you believe, that Jesus is the Son of God, he died for your sins, we'll baptize you this morning. We'll even figure out how to get you some warm clothes before you can go home. We'll do it this morning. It's that important, okay? If you want to wait, we'll schedule another date. Just give me a call. I would love to talk with you about it further. But each of these people who are going to be baptized this morning, they have already talked with me. And they've shared their faith with me. As they come down into the baptism tank, we're going to ask them two questions. One is, have you asked Christ to forgive your sins? And they're going to say whatever they're going to say. They're going to say what they've said to me, which is yes. And do you want to follow Jesus as the Lord of your life and the boss who's going to give you direction for the following? Do you want to follow Jesus? And they're going to say yes. And on the basis of those two confessions, we're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in obedience to what Jesus has asked us to do, to make disciples of all the nations. So we're making disciples this morning. That's what we're doing. Would you pray with me?